All right, let's pray then. Father, we do thank you that you are good.
Yes.
If you were not good, oh God, it would not be worth being alive. But you are good.
Yes.
You are good. We don't know the half of how good you are. But we're learning to trust you and trust your goodness, Lord. So we come to you on behalf of Lonnie tonight, Lord, because she needs to know your goodness tonight, Lord. She needs to know your care. She needs to know that you're there. She needs to feel your presence. She and her family, Lord, need your help tonight. And Lord, we do pray. We lift them up. We lift them up before you and hold them in your presence. They are your servants. And we do pray that you would keep them from all work of harm and evil. Your perfect will would be done in their life, Lord. And our prayer is that they would have deliverance from any problems, Lord, that you would find the root, the doctors would find, or whatever your... Lord, we don't know what your will is. I don't know what your will is. Help us to find it. Help Rick, Lord, especially Rick and Lonnie and the family, Lord. It's the hardest, Lord, when you're involved because your emotions get going. And so I pray that they might have your peace, that they might sense your presence, that they might sense, Lord, in the midst of all that goes on, your hand upon them, Lord. And I know you know how to do that. And for Mike's sister, Kim, Lord, that you would also bless her. Undertake, Lord, and be the source of help. Lord, you are help in a time of need. Now, it's up to us, Lord, to call upon you. I pray that if she doesn't know how to on her own, Lord, we pray for her and call on you on her behalf.
Yes.
That you would have mercy on her. Give her wisdom. Give her strength. Give her whatever she needs, Lord. You are I am. I am. Whatever you need to be, you are. Whatever she needs, you are. You are I am. Yeah. And Lord, we don't recognize just how frail we are until times of emergency, disaster, times of trouble come. Then we recognize we don't have a hold on anything. If you don't have a hold on us, Lord, we're sunk. We're sunk. But we thank you. You have a hold on us. You have a hold on us. We've learned in the midst of our turmoil that you have a hold on us. You have your hand on us, and we thank you for that. We count on it. We pray it would be known to these families in need tonight, Lord. Now, Lord, for our time together, we thank you for the time. We pray that you would be present and you would minister to us. It's only by your Spirit that anything happens. It's only by your Spirit that words can be spoken that have life. It's only by your Spirit that ears can hear, hearts can receive, and life can be perceived and grow within us, Lord.
Amen.
We want eternal life.
We do.
So we pray that more of Christ would be added to us tonight, Lord. Be with us. Be with our words. Be with our thoughts. Direct us, we pray. Keep us and lead us forward, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Miriam, right?
Yes.
Yeah. We've been talking about Christian disciplines, and this is actually the last night that we're going to talk about Christian disciplines. So for Miriam's sake, we're going to have just a little quick review, okay?
Thank you.
Now, in order to explain Christian disciplines, I have to explain something first. I'm in construction. Tony's in construction. We build houses.
Good, honorable job.
Thank you. We think so too. Speaking of honorable, he's a judge.
Jesus was a carpenter.
Okay. So we know a little something. We don't pretend to know all, but we know a little something about building. Okay. And one of the things that you learn about building, it doesn't matter where you build. I've been to Hong Kong and the Philippines, and they build over there too. Do you know that? It's amazing. And they use different materials all together, but they have the same concept. And that is, in order to build a building, first you have to build a temporary structure.
around the building in order to facilitate building the building. We call it scaffolding. When they go to build a two-story house, they have to put up all these bars and planks and crossbars and safety rails and all of this sort of stuff all around the outside of the house. So you, as the house goes up, you see the sticks going up. You've seen the sticks going up, right? When you're building a house and it just looks like sticks. It's 2x4s and stuff like that. It doesn't really look like a house yet. It just looks like, we call them sticks. Okay, but as they start to get up and they start going up to the second floor here, okay, you want to be able to access that second floor. Now it's starting to look like a house, isn't it? Okay. They put the roof on it. But in order to work up here on the sides and everything, what they have to do is they have to put what we call scaffolding, okay? And it's these things that are all around the outside of the building that without them, can you imagine the guy standing down here just throwing wood up and hoping it landed in the right place and stayed? I know it's silly, but if you're building a brick house, tossing bricks in the air and hoping they all land in the right place so that they pile up on each other, put mud on it first and hope it lands in the right spot. That's silly, but it doesn't work. Of course not. You've got to build scaffolding. Over there in the Philippines, they build scaffolding out of bamboo. It's okay, it's not OSHA approved. I know, but it works, okay? It still works. And it serves the same purpose. It goes so that they can access the side of the building and put it together and build it in order to get to it. Now, here in our country, especially here in Southern California, they're very strict about the scaffolding. Oh, very strict about the scaffolding. As a matter of fact, you have to be qualified to put it together. And if you're not qualified, you're not to touch it. Period. You can be fined for touching it. Because a guy can fall and hurt himself if somebody messes with the plank, moves it so that it slips and falls. I mean, that's, you don't want to fall from up there. It's not fun. Okay? And so they're very strict about how that scaffolding goes. But despite all of that stuff, when the house is done, guess what they do to the scaffolding?
They take it down.
All right, we're studying Christian disciplines. Now, why do you think I just gave that little illustration in lieu of the fact that we are studying Christian disciplines? Dan?
Because the disciplines are scaffolding.
The disciplines are scaffolding. Exactly. What God is after is the house, not the scaffolding. Okay? Now, there is a lot of things that we need to learn as Christians. For instance, what was the first one that I gave? Does anybody remember the first one that I gave? The first one? It's a clue.
Rising early.
Yeah. See? First one was rising early. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Okay, rising early. What was the second one, Tony?
I was still on the first one.
Rising early, and I made a distinction between the first one and the second one, although most people do the second one when they do the first one. What's the second one? I give you a clue.
Prayer.
See, these are things that Christians ought to do, don't you think? Definitely. What was the third one? I had a special name for it. Names I didn't use. That's close. We meditate on this. But what was the word I used, and what are some of the words I didn't use?
Reading your Bible. Or...
That's what I didn't use. That's exactly right. What did I use?
Word.
The word. And why did I make the distinction between the word and not calling it read your Bible?
Because the word is Jesus.
Yes.
And then also the scriptures are the word.
That's right. You have the scriptures which lead you to Jesus. Who is the Word? They themselves contain the Word, but they themselves are not the Word. Okay, yeah.
So the Word could be the scaffolding that leads us to the house.
The Word is like a scaffolding that leads us to a house in a sense. I don't know. It says that
All kinds of things will pass away, but these words are never going to pass away. So, how exactly that works out, Tony, I'm not sure. Whether we'll have Bibles for forever, I'm not sure, because there's a lot about Jesus that's not written in there. Okay, and you and I are having the Word written in our hearts and minds. We are becoming the Word. Okay? So, exactly how that, maybe, like you said, maybe the Word will be the house. Because we will become the Word, and we are the temple. We are being built into a temple. So we're using the scaffolding of reading the Bible on a regular basis, getting in the habit, and we need to read the Word. But the reason why I'm calling this a scaffolding is because when God begins to deal with us, He's God. He does what He wants. If we get to the place where we think rising early makes us holy, then He'll change your circumstances so you can't. Just to show you that holiness is separate than rising early. Rising early is something between you and God, not something to make you seem like you're better than other people. I speak from experience, because I used to make a big deal of everybody in the church knew that I got up at 4:30. Okay. All right. So God took it away from me. All right. What was number four? Tithing and giving. Remember, we said, you get to the place where you realize it all belongs to God. It all belongs to God. It all belongs to God. He can do with your life as He sees fit.
Marriage.
What else?
Fasting.
What else? I don't teach fasting too much because I don't participate in it much, because it's not good for construction people to fast. Makes it hard to do the work. It's impractical. But if God asks you to, you do. What else? Praise and worship. Okay, and so tonight I'm going to go over a few more. And then we're going to pray and see what God wants. I had someone tell me that if I did a teaching on the tabernacle, that they would come. Well, that's cool, but I got to know that that's what God wants me to do. So I know that some of you already know the tabernacle pretty well. I think Mark could probably teach it as well as I can, and Lloyd knows it, and Carol's not here tonight, but if she were here, I know she's taught it. But then I have someone who's not heard it that are here also. So I'll have to pray. The neat thing is that if we do something like that we've done before, God is practical. He always makes it so that we get something out of it, even if we've heard it before. Yeah. Okay. Tonight I want to talk about one, two, three, four, five more, and there may be a bunch more. I'm not. These are certainly. This is limited. And we missed a very important one. Ooh. Well, I'm glad I looked at the board. I just gave you a clue. What's the very important one that we missed, that when I looked at the board, I remembered?
Assembling with the saints.
We did do that one. That's great. Assembling with the saints. But that doesn't... When I looked at the board, that's not why I remembered it.
Confessing.
Yes. Why would I think of that when I looked at the board? Because it's still there. Remember? With saints.
Okay, confession of sins. And if you're interested in any of these, we have old tapes that you can get. Okay? And the confession of sins is an interesting one because we have the tendency to believe from what most of us have been taught is that you confess your sins when you're first saved, and then after that there is no more condemnation. Okay? And that's not what God has been showing us. That even though we've been saved and God has forgiven us of our sins, we still have a sinful nature. And that we have to deal with that. And the way we deal with that is through this process of confession of sins. So we have a tape on that. Yes.
Do you believe in Hellenist Church?
Sure.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. All right. Now, what we're going to look at today is, like I said, we're going to look at a few more. These are things that I think that we as Christians ought to do, and they would stand us in good stead in our way of living, our mode of living, in our behavior, to give us a model by which to live until the day star rises in our heart, until we come to the place of maturing to where we can truly be led by the Spirit. Okay? And then when that happens, as we're being led by the Spirit, you'll see God will mess with all of these things. When I say He'll mess with them, God is God. He does not want us relying on rules and regulations. He wants us to be led by Him. He wants us to be hearing Him. So like I said, I used to get up early at 4:30 every time. And then God took that away from me so that I wasn't able to. So, all right. This is one I think is good. Philippians 4:5. Okay? I'm calling this one moderation. Okay? And just when you get to the place where you're really full of moderation, then you find out that God likes a hilarious giver.
That's a Greek word.
Yeah. Okay. What, moderation or hilarious?
Hilarious.
Yes.
Hilarion.
He likes it. Okay. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Okay. Here's another one. 1 Timothy 3:3. Not addicted to wine or pugnacious, but gentle, uncontentious, free from the love of money. Okay? Moderation in all things. Acts 24:25. I thought there was a verse that, I'm probably thinking King James, but I thought there was a verse that had the word moderation in all things, but I didn't find it. You notice that sometimes you have a thought, but you realize, I was looking up, when I get down to another one, I was looking up a verse, I said, okay, Lisa, where's this? Okay, yeah, well, let's look so-and-so. Okay, so I get the Strong's out, let's find it. It's not under that word. Well, it's surely going to be under this other word. Sure. No, it's not under that word either. You'll see it. I'll get down to it. In the,
King James.
Huh?
Philippians, King James.
King James 4:5 is what?
That one says moderation be known unto all men.
Okay. Let your moderation be known unto all men. And Acts 24:25 says, and he was discussing righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. Of all things, have you ever found that interesting? When Paul was talking to Festus, okay, he had been incarcerated.
Yes.
And he had an opportunity to talk to somebody to gain his freedom. He chose three subjects. Why did he choose righteousness? There's a lot of reasons. But why did he choose righteousness? Why would he talk to him about righteousness?
Because Because he was representing righteousness.
Because he's a ruler.
He's a ruler, yeah, right.
And the ruler, of all people, rulers should be representing righteousness. Okay, righteousness is very big with God. One of the requirements God has is that we do right. Okay? And so rulers, part of the purpose of the ruler is to see to it that righteousness is established. So we talk to him about righteousness, because what's the problem with rulers? What's the problem with most rulers? They're corrupt. They're unrighteous. They can be bought. Okay? Right. Self-control. Now, why? Remember what was that? Remember Pastor showed us that proverb? Who found that thing? It's not for kings, old and mule, to get drunk with wine or beer, because it renders you incapable of judgment.
Proverbs 31:1.
Wouldn't it? Three. Try that. Proverbs 31:3. Yep. Try 4. We're close. It's not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to desire strong drink. Okay, that's the New American Standard. That's what I thought. I like the NIV. It just says beer. Cool. We can strong drink. Strong drink. Okay, but for rulers to crave beer, okay, now I can. That's why I like the NIV. I mean, it speaks our language. Lest they drink and forget what the law decrees and deprive all the oppressed of their rights. Okay? So, we want moderation, self-control. And of course, you talk to them about judgment to come, because all of us are going to give an answer for what we do. Whether we're Nero or Artaxerxes or Genghis Khan, whoever we may think we are, we will give an account for everything we've done.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So a characteristic of Christians, I believe, should be that they use moderation. And again, you have to be led by the Spirit, but it's just a good rule to keep for, especially for all of us. That one of the things that we're learning with Diane is that we have different ages. We have the children. We have those who are growing older, teenagers, she calls them. And then we have adults. Okay? And we have that in real life. But the interesting thing is that at Christians, that we can correlate those same areas to a Christian, because when we're first Christians, we're young, like babies. We need the milk, the pure milk of the Word. And then as we grow older, we begin to be able to handle a little bit of meat. Okay? And as we get older. And the interesting thing that we're finding out is some of us can be fairly mature in some areas, at the same time be very immature in another area. So these disciplines are to help us, because when you have children, you give them rules. And you expect them, when you have small children, you don't sit down and try to, nowadays they do, you notice that, especially Orientals. They sit down and they try to explain to their children, a little 3-year-old, why they have this rule. And then they don't understand why their child is so unruly.
Yeah.
Train. The Bible says train up a child in the way he should go. It doesn't say teach. There's a big difference. I've trained animals. You train animals. You don't teach them. I don't sit down with my dog and explain to him, now, listen, dog, sit there. Don't lick my face. Just listen to me. Let me talk to you now, okay? Let me tell you about quail. No, hold still. Quail. Now, quail is... Are you listening to me? You don't teach a dog. He doesn't know. You can't explain to him ballistics and the superior power of a 12-gauge over his nose.
He's not going to understand that. But you're training.
Good
luck. The best way to do that is take the claws out of his paws. Okay. But a dog understands training. Oh, yes, 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 yes. When the dog tries to go one direction and you jerk his chain and you make him go the other direction, it doesn't take him long before he doesn't like his chain jerked. And you don't have to pull very hard at all. And when you associate that jerking of the chain with a whistle, after a while you don't have to jerk the chain at all. Just whistle. And the dog goes the other way. It's keen. It works. It works. That's training. That's what you do with children. You train your child, okay? You don't try to explain what burn is. Well, there's some parents that like that. You know, okay, you want to burn yourself? Go ahead. And then now they got a scarred child. That's cool. No, I don't think that's cool. I think it's cruel.
Yes, it is.
Okay? But you can't sit down and explain to the child that it damages the nerves and it damages. It doesn't understand all that. What you would explain to him that if he gets his hands too close to that, it's going to sting. He understands that. And when he gets older, then you can explain why you were doing him a favor by smacking his hand when it got too close to the flame. But as a kid, you don't try to explain that to him. You just so that he stays away from the flame. Okay? So when we're kids, God has these things. God expects us to live a certain way. We're to be different. A Christian is not a worldling. And everything about your life should reflect the fact that you don't belong to the world anymore. You belong to God. But it's all for a purpose. It should be going somewhere. Okay? And as we get older, who knows? You know, as I get older, I may not be able to rise early. I don't know. You know, I don't know. But I will always have that sense of giving my first and best to God. That's not going to change. My first and best, I'm God's. Okay. So, next one is to redeem the time. Pastor loves this one. Redeem the time. I don't know how to spell redeem. Two E's?
Yeah,
two E-E-M?
Yeah, okay.
Redeem the time. Okay? And that's Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. Now, you would be amazed at how many Christians don't do this. They don't. We squander our time like we have forever. We have forever. That's the problem. We only have a certain amount of time that we will be under this tutelage. Only a certain amount of time that you can suffer in the flesh. Once your flesh is dead, you no longer can suffer in the flesh. Did you know that? Isn't that an amazing thought? And we ought to cherish every moment we have to suffer in the flesh. Oh, he has flipped out tonight, has he not? But I'm here to tell you there's people who... went into the spirit realm and then they realized, man, bearing my cross was the thing. And now my opportunity to do that is over. You want to be done when you... brought into the spirit realm and not just brought into the spirit realm because you ran out of time. Okay? Redeeming the time. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. See, I got redeem your time. It doesn't even have redeem your time in there. Making the most. If I were looking that up, I'd be looking for redeeming the time and I wouldn't find that verse, would I? Making the most of your time because the days are evil. I marvel at how people dabble in things that they don't realize what they dabble in.
I'll give you an example. When I was younger, I was really into guitar, lead guitars. All my favorite groups were groups that had lead guitar players. Okay, they were either soloists or they were groups that were focused around a really great guitar player. That's what I was after, the rock guitar or the blues guitar. Okay, and then there came out a new group. It's not new at all today, but it was back in my day. Okay, they were called Black Sabbath. Okay, and I think isn't that Ozzy Osbourne? Yeah, Ozzy Osbourne. Okay, and it came out with these new different kinds of sounds that he could make. Well, a lot of people got into Black Sabbath, and you know, they're saying it's not Satan worship. It's just, you know, we just call ourselves Black Sabbath. Okay, but the thing is, you can't dabble with devil stuff and get away with it. He plays for keeps. We might think we can Ouija boards. How many ever messed around with Ouija boards? Never heard of a Ouija board? Yeah, I never did either. Okay, that's another thing. It's a quote game where you kind of go into a seance type mode, and then the thing will move itself and it has letters on there, and it'll answer questions or talk to you or whatever. Okay, you don't do stuff like that. Ghost busting. Okay, I won't get into ghosts tonight because that's just not the topic of the night. But I have my own ideas about ghosts. Okay, and they're not humbug. Okay, there are ghosts. Anyway. But you get into that stuff and you think you can do that and still, quote, maintain your Christian life? No. It's going to affect you. I could tell God was good to me when I went to a Black Sabbath concert. I wasn't impressed. God shielded me. I didn't go back. I didn't follow him. I didn't get involved. I knew instinctively I didn't like the Beatles. The Beatles got into something. You know, they're all doing their little love songs. She loves you, yeah, 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 hold my hand. And then the next thing they come out with Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, and something was different. And it took the world by storm. But what was different was not right. It was Eastern religion. Okay? And God had a purpose for my life. So somehow, he shielded me. I heard it. I knew. Another really big group. Everybody knows him. Well, I never got into Kiss. Good grief. Are you kidding me? No. The Rolling Stones. The Stones. Okay, the Stones. The Stones and the Beatles. That shows you. I mean, I'm not young. Okay. Okay? And the Stones, they do this album called, back in those days they had albums, and it's called For His Satanic Majesty's, At His Satanic Majesty's Request. No, I don't listen to that. I may have heard some songs off that. I don't know. I don't know because I didn't listen to it. Because even when I wasn't serving the Lord, instinctively I knew you can't dabble. You have to, in redeeming the time, you have to be careful what you mess with. Because they have severe consequences. Same thing with homosexuality. That's not something you experiment with. It have some, because there are titanic spirits behind these things. And so when you get involved, it has consequences. Okay, redeem the time. Be careful what you do with your time as a Christian. Now this next one, I went into a whole series, and I don't even know if I'm going to or not. I'll tell you what it is. I'm running out of space. Can I erase these and put it somewhere else, or what would you like me to do? Up at the top, she said. All right, we'll go up to the top. I don't write so well way down here. Okay. This next one is show no offense. Two F's? Now, how many of you were with me when I went to
this whole, well, they did it in Sunday school. Dan did. Because this is how it came about. I was doing these things over there in the Sunday school class, and I got into this show no offense, and God just gave me a whole three different topics. Okay? And that was make no offense, take no offense, and how to deal with offenses. Make no offense, take no offense, and how to deal with offenses. So that's a possibility, too, that we might go to. But like I said, be praying with me where we should go next, okay? We should go into that. But this is how I got there, okay? Because we as Christians are required to live a life so as not to be an offense to others, okay? Is that new to some of you? Or have you heard that before? Yes. Okay. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 12 and 13. God expects us to live in such a way as to not be an offense to our brothers, particularly those who are strong, or not to be an offense to those who are weak. And how many have ever been offended by another Christian? Raise your hand. Come on, everybody, raise your hand. We offend. We have been offended and we offend. Okay, so oddly enough, it's a big issue in the church. Offenses. Okay? All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful to me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Okay? That's a lesson all in itself. Just basically what that means is there's you can take just about anything. I mean, there are some things that are all things are lawful for me. That's what it says. That's what it means. I mean, you name it. Sex, theater, there's law for it. Okay? But not all things are profitable. There's a time and a place for everything, yes.
I've done a little bit of looking into this. I think at this point, he could be possibly, like he's done in other parts, is he's quoting what people are saying at that time. I don't know, but I looked into that.
Well, you got to understand, when we come into the kingdom, we're going to receive all things. All things are ours, it says somewhere else in Corinthians. All things are ours. Because right now we wonder about, like, theater. Okay, the theater's gone to the pot, as far as I'm concerned. I don't necessarily mean theater as opposed to the big screen, okay? Movies. There's hardly a movie that's made that hasn't got some kind of junk in it. You know? The Titanic was a great movie, right? Except it threw a little junk in it, which ruined the whole movie. Okay? The whole movie went because they threw junk in it. Otherwise, it's a historically interesting story. Okay? But they weave this little thread of sin through the whole thing and made the whole thing absolutely worthless. Okay? But does that mean that there'll be no theater in the kingdom? Now, can you imagine Jesus when he's talking to his disciples and he's saying to them, you have a speck in your eye. If you want to help your brother to get the speck out of your eye, get the beam out of your eye first. You think that's the way Jesus taught them? No, come on. He's talking to them like this, okay? He's got some shepherd out there, and he's got their stick, and he says, okay, now, you got your brother, he's got a speck in your eye, and you want to help your brother with the speck, but the problem is you need to get this log out of your own eye before you can help your brother with the speck. That's the way he taught them. A little theater up there. You got to know it. Well, it's going to be theater in the kingdom.
Expressive.
Exactly. I mean, it got the point across. Whacking the guy with your rod. All things are ours, but not everything is profitable. We could be at a movie tonight, but we chose to do this with our time instead. Why? Because this, I hope, is profitable.
All things are lawful for me, but I'm not going to be mastered by anything. The Holy Spirit tells us when we will and when we won't. The Holy Spirit should be guiding us in everything. The Holy Spirit should be guiding your emotions. The Holy Spirit should be guiding your hormones. The Holy Spirit should be guiding your desires. The Holy Spirit should be, that's what should be mastering us. And we have to make ourselves a slave of Jesus Christ in order for that to happen. He's not going to impose himself on us. Okay? Food is for the stomach and the stomach is for food, but God will do away with both of them. Now that's an interesting thing because I think we'll have stomachs and I think there'll be food in the kingdom, so I'm not exactly sure what that means, just temporarily. Okay. Yet the body is not for immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. Okay?
I think it's for when we have our new body of flesh and bone, we won't need food.
I know that, but at the same time, Jesus ate food and he cooked for the disciples. And there's at least three references that I can think of Jesus in his resurrected body and food.
Right. What I'm saying, you won't need it.
You won't need it to live. No, I agree. And that's probably what he means. Okay. It'll be to our taste. It'll be because we enjoy it. I don't know, bro, but anyway. Yes, I know. All right. Also in 8, 4 through 13. 1 Corinthians 8, 4 through 13. Now, concerning the things, eating of the things sacrificed to idols. All right. We got it yet? We know that there is no such thing as an idol in the world. Okay? And that there is no God but one. We know that. But for even if there are so-called gods, and there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, and indeed there are many gods and many lords, there are, okay? There are. But you notice it's gods with the little g, okay? Because there's only one God, but there are many gods, there's many, many gods, many, many things that are represented by idols. Yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and we exist for him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ. Now, I've often thought, too, this is just a little sidebar, I've often thought this would be a great time for Paul to explain the Trinity, and he doesn't do a good job of it. He says there's one God. He didn't say there's one God, three in one. Paul, he needed to go to Bible school. He didn't understand. Okay? There's only one God, and it's the Father. And there's one Lord, Jesus Christ, for whom are all things, and we exist through him. However, not all men have this knowledge, but some, being accustomed to the idol until now, eat food as if it were sacrificed to an idol, and their consciences, being weak, are defiled. But the food will not commend us to God. We are neither the worse if we do not eat, nor the better if we do eat. Boy, there's a lot here, isn't it? I don't know if I can just rush through this. All right, do we understand what we're reading here? We don't think in terms of idols, even though we have a show that's extremely unpopular called American Idol. But we don't think in terms of idols in this country. Okay, we don't think we have any. And when we talk idols, we think Africa. Bowing down to the stick. Okay? What we do is we scream. We don't bow down. We scream. We wave our hands and shake our tooties. And that's what we do for our idols. Okay. However, all men don't have this knowledge, but some, being accustomed to the idol, and to now eat food as if it were sacrificed to an idol. Back then, they were having food that was being sacrificed to an idol. If you've ever been in a Buddhist house, they have the little stuff, and there's a little dish with fruit in it. Okay, what do you do to the fruit after you've given it to the Buddha? The Buddha doesn't eat it. Okay, you can either let it sit there till it goes sour, or you eat it afterward. But the problem is it was sacrificed to the idol first. Are you going to eat food that's sacrificed to an idol? Sure. It's an orange. That's what Paul's saying. It's an orange. Just because they put it in front of the Buddha doesn't change the fact that it's an orange. It's still got the same nutrition that the orange has. It hasn't been defiled by the fact that somebody sat in front of the Buddha first. Okay? But if your brain gets bothered by the fact that it was put in front of the Buddha, don't eat it, because now that's what will defile you. Okay? But if I come to the Buddhist house, not knowing they're even Buddhist for that matter, and they give me an orange to eat, and in their religion, that's a good thing, that's how they give it to the Buddha, by giving it to me. I don't know that. So I take the orange, I say, thank you very much, I peel it and eat it, and I go home very happy and well fed from my orange. But if another Christian comes along and he says, those people are Buddhists, do you know that they're giving that stuff to the Buddha? Are you going to eat that orange? Well, obviously it bothers you, doesn't it? No, I guess I won't. Why? Because it's wrong? No, there's nothing wrong with the orange, it's an orange. It's nutritious. It hasn't changed because he, quote, gave it to the Buddha. But if my brother thinks that because it was given to the Buddha, there's a problem with it, now I have a problem. What's my problem? My brother's conscience, not the orange. That's what it means, all things are lawful for me. There's nothing wrong with the orange. But if my brother's conscience is defiled by the fact that I'm eating an orange that was first given to the Buddha, I'm not going to eat the orange. Why would I want? Look here, this stupid guy, don't you know there's nothing wrong with this orange? You idiot, don't you know? That helped my brother a lot, didn't it?
No.
It ruined him. Not only does he think there's something wrong with the orange, but he thinks there's something wrong with me. Okay? So, oh, he already thinks there's something wrong with me. So, here's the thing. Here's the rub, friends. You and I have got to live in such a way as not to offend each other in what we do.
But in order to do that, you've got to know.
Yes. Well, and Paul says later on, if your conscience is clear, go ahead and have a good time, eat it. Don't worry about it. Go to the movie, enjoy it. But if you know your brother's bugged about that movie, don't go. Okay? See, it goes on to say, verse 9, but take care lest this liberty of yours somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. Okay? The strong understand that all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. The weak think, the movies are wrong. Teenagers are black and white. It's either right or it's wrong. There's no such thing as being led by the Spirit. It's either right or it's wrong. Now, what is it? Is it right or is it wrong? Tell me. It's either right or it's wrong. That's a teenager. Okay? And they'll hoist you on your words. Whatever you say to them, they're going to hoist you on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, there are some things that are right and some things that are wrong. I understand. Yes, I understand. But for the teenager, that's all there is. It's just all black or it's all white. There is nothing in between. There's no such thing as being led by the Spirit. Okay? But that's that's being the teenager. We learn. And Diane has a wonderful little lesson. She calls it cat, dog, and lion. You've never heard of cat, dog, and lion. Most of us have. But cat, dog, and lion is this. When you're a little kid and you see a fuzzy animal, you teach the kid, that's cat. Fuzzy animal, cat. So the kid, oh, cat. Okay? Then it comes along later and sees a dog. And it goes, cat. No, not all fuzzy little animals are cats. This is a fuzzy animal, but it's a different kind of fuzzy animal. This is a dog. So it's a little cognitive thought there. Oh, okay, so not all fuzzy animals are cats. Okay, we're learning, okay? Then you come along later and you see this lion.
Big cat.
Big dog. No, it's not a dog, and it's not a cat. It's a lion. That's a little more cognitive thought, okay? Thinking, all right, so here it is. This is lying, all right? This is for a child. Lying is wrong, period. Lying is a sin. Do not lie. Okay? All liars will have their place in the lake of fire, period. Do not lie. Smack that hand. Okay? Now we get a little older and we say, okay, now we're going to have a surprise party. Okay? And we're all going to go over to Sandy's house after church. But we're going to say we're going to go shopping. Because we want to surprise Daddy that we're going to take him to. He doesn't know. We don't want him to know. So we're going to tell him we're going to take him shopping. That's a lie. Well, here's the thing. We don't want to tell Daddy, Daddy, we're going to surprise you, because you're not going to get surprised that way. We want to please Daddy. We want to have Daddy. And we really want Daddy to enjoy this. So we have to tell him something other than what we're really going to do. It's really not a lie, because our motive is not to deceive. Our motive is not to kill and destroy. Our motive is to bring joy and happiness. So we're going to tell Daddy that we're going shopping, when in truth we're going to Sandy's house. Now, if the kid is catching on, he understands this is a dog now. We can tell Daddy that we're going to go shopping, but it's not really a lie. Okay? Now we come down to lion. All right? This is a lion. This is for the mature. Rahab, when they came to Rahab's house, they said, "Where are the spies that came to you?" "Oh, no, no spies came to mine." "Well, they did. That's right. I saw them. They ran out. You know, I saw they went down that road, down that way. And if you chase after them real hard, I'll bet you'll catch them. But I don't have them here. They're not hiding in my place." "No, sir. I wouldn't do such a thing." But they were hiding in her place. She had hid them. She lied big time. And God said, "What a wonderful thing you did there, Rahab. I will bless you and bless your lineage forever. From you will come the Messiah." Mm-hmm. Because she lied. Now, do you see the difference between child, teenager, and an adult? When we're dealing here, we got to understand that for people that are young and weak, if we have liberty, we can't use that to become a stumbling block to the weak. Just because we understand the difference between a dog and a lion doesn't mean all of the other saints do. If someone sees you, you who have knowledge, dining in an idol's temple, you're eating the orange that was given to the Buddha, will not his conscience, if he is weak, be strengthened to eat things sacrificed to idols? "Well, look, Pastor Stan does it. Well, I can do it too." Not because he thinks that it's fine, because he has understanding, but because Pastor Stan is doing it, I can do it too. Pastor Stan went to the movies, I'll go to the movies too. Well, he may not have discretion. He just may just go because Pastor Stan does. Okay? "For through your knowledge, he who is weak is ruined. For the brother for whose sake Christ died, and thus by sinning against the brethren and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ." We can do that. We have got to be careful. Now, how do you do that? Well, finish the last verse. "Therefore, if food causes my brother to stumble, I will never eat meat again, that I may not cause my brother to stumble." How do you do that? How do you do that? How do you know when to eat and when not to eat? When to go to the movie and when not to go to the movie? How do you know?
Pray.
You've got to hear from God.
Right.
You've got to be listening to the Spirit. And you've got to be able to hear the Holy Spirit. And see, our kids are good kids. And God loves our kids. But they don't know how to hear from God. They're kids. I can hardly know how to hear from God. Somebody got to help them.
Yep.
So we who have some experience in how to hear from God, I've got to help those kids who want to hear from him. And I'm telling you, our kids want to hear from God. They don't know how. So we have to help them. And we have to be careful that we don't become stumbling blocks to them. Okay? There are other verses. I won't go into them. Because I got three sessions that could take me 7-10 weeks. Who knows? Because I'm long-winded. Okay, two more real quick ones. I like this one. Avoid all appearance. Is that two P's?
Yeah.
Of evil. Okay? It's King James. It's got to be because I couldn't find it in the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Abstain from every form of evil. I finally found it under evil. Yeah, I know. I was avoiding the biggest topic, evil. I was looking for avoid and appearance, and I couldn't find either one of them. Because it says, abstain from every form of evil instead of appearance. But anyway, it is, the real word is appearance. Don't do something that... now, this can be taken to extreme. When I was young, no card games, period. Christians don't play cards. We wanted to avoid all appearance of evil. And we took that very literally. And we didn't want somebody to see us playing rook from a distance and not realize those are rook cards. And we're afraid that they would see us and think we were playing who knows. Okay? Now, so anyway, that's what we did. We didn't play any card games. And then, of course, most of us played Old Maid, which is a card game, and Rook, and a few other. And then nowadays, kids play all kinds of card games. Okay? So we don't know whether they're playing poker or not. But I'm trying to get to their hearts so that they would know that playing poker, there's a problem with playing poker because there's a spirit behind gambling. That's another thing you don't want to dabble with. Just a few little coins in the thing. Oh, yeah, this is cool. But I can turn away from it, can you? How many drinks does it take to become a drunk? For some, only one. And the deed is done, and they're on a long, slippery path to ruin. So avoid all appearance of evil, all right? And the last one is flee from immorality. I got 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee immorality. Okay? 2 Timothy 2:22. I'm going faster than the computer man can compute. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee from youthful lusts. Okay? And My thing has always been, if you can't take thongs on the beach, don't go to the beach. Mm-hmm. Personally, I can't. Flee. Immorality. Okay? There are just certain places that if you go there, you're going to run into immorality. That's why they go there. Bars, for instance. One of the main reasons why people go to bars is to get together so they can become immoral afterward. I mean, they are immoral, so they can act out on their immorality, okay? So why would you want to go there? To witness, of course. Of course. Okay? These are just a few. Pardon? These are just a few Christian disciplines that that I think if we, I think they stand us in good stead as scaffolding to lead us to the Lord. If we can learn to practice these things, we'll grow. I think if we learn to practice these things, we'll grow. All right. Now, before we close up, if I were to teach on something like the tabernacle, how many of you would decide not to come on Tuesday nights because you heard it before? I'm serious. How many times have you heard the tabernacle taught?
Probably not, but with my memory.
In 32 years.
Yeah, you've been here a while. We've been here a while. The guys of us that have been here a long time, we've heard the tabernacle taught a lot of times. Now, Rebecca, how many times have you heard the tabernacle preached? You have heard her preach, though, huh?
Probably.
See, she can't even tell if she has or she hasn't. Okay?
I've heard it, but I haven't understood it.
You haven't understood it. Did I teach it when we were in my Sunday school class? A little bit. Yeah. Okay. All right. So.
But that other one was good. The offenses.
Offenses?
The three
and the tabernacle, I mean, it's God, the way God has made that. I don't care how many times you hear it. God speaks to you about something different.
I agree with that. I love the tabernacle. I love to teach on the tabernacle, and if I do, you'll find that out. Okay? I just love to teach on the tabernacle because for me, it has become, you see, when you have a body, if you pulled the bones out of my body, I would be a pile on the floor, a heap of flesh that wouldn't function, would die quickly. Okay? But you put a skeleton in my, well, and I hold together and do fairly well for 58 and a half, almost 59. Okay? Don't do so bad, all right? Because my skeleton holds me up, okay? That for me, the tabernacle, the feast of the Lord, the wilderness wanderings, and the 7 days of creation are skeletons for me. They are the structure upon which Christianity makes sense. Pastor talks about a lot of different subjects. Each week he takes a different subject, and sometimes it seems like they all come out of left field. Okay? But if I have a decent grasp of the types, I know where they all fit together. For me, it's kind of like a continuum. And he can preach one Sunday, and I'll see it goes over here. And he can teach another Sunday, and I can see it goes over here. And he can teach another Sunday, and it goes here, here, and here. I can see that very clearly in my mind. So I can keep up with what he's saying. But I got that way because of the tabernacle. So, but offenses is a very important subject because we deal with offenses. So I may do that first before I do the other.
It's a shorter one.
It's, well, you never can tell. Because I don't have an agenda. I have notes, but I don't have an agenda. And as long as we need it, as long as God is speaking to us.
And I think as you grow, too, in your Christian walk, you understand more of the tabernacle.
Each time we go through it, we go more. And when I do the tabernacle, if I do the whole full-blown tabernacle, my gosh, we'll be on that for months. You like the cat, dog, lion. I did too. You know what? You got to understand, God is this way. Before she came, I was saying to the Lord, Lord, I don't get the cat, dog, lion. I don't get it. And so what does she come here and talk about? Almost the whole time. Exactly. And it wasn't because so much he didn't do it because Stan wanted to know. God put it in Stan's heart to want to know because that's what he was going to do.
Which is like 30, 60, 100-fold. I mean, it all kind of goes back to the tabernacle too.
It all goes back to the tabernacle. A lot of things go to the tabernacle. So be in prayer. But I'm inclined to go to my study on offenses. Are you here for your mom? Or are you on your own? Okay, I got a little thing here. I'll see you afterward for your mom. All right, let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you that you are bringing us up. You are causing us to grow. We sometimes become appalled when we realize that in so many areas we're still very immature. We shouldn't, Lord, we shouldn't. In the truest sense, Lord, we're still in the womb. We haven't even been birthed yet. Not until we receive our new bodies will we even be birthed. It's the first time we really will appear what we shall be. So, Lord, we shouldn't be appalled over the fact that we're still learning. It ought to be just, that's the way it is. So give us grace, Lord. We often beat ourselves up when we oughtn't. Help us to give ourselves grace and recognizing we're all in training. We're all in training. Pastor's in training. He's learning.
He's learning. He's maybe farther down the road than we are, but he nevertheless is still learning. So is Diane, and so are we, Lord. Yeah, help us to be comfortable with that fact and not berate ourselves or have too high of an expectation either for ourselves or for one another. So we can have mercy and grace with one another, Lord. And Lord, if you want us to deal with offenses, that's an important subject, Lord. And there's a lot to be learned and a lot more for me to understand in that subject also. So guide us if we go that way. And help us to gain from your word and your concern. You have a great concern for us. You do not want us running around offending one another and being offended and not knowing what to do about it. So thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. And bless Miriam tonight, Lord, we pray. And bless those that need your help, Lord. Lonnie and Kim, I believe it was. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.